It's that time of year when almost the world's attention is on Jesus. Christmas, when we celebrate his birth. If ever I felt that God has dropped a message into my heart for just such a time as this, this is it. I was astounded the way that God just put things together. So if you would open to the book of Matthew chapter 1, we're going to look for just a moment at God's holy word. And I want you to pay close attention to this message, please. Because there's a message inside of a message inside of a message. And I don't want you to miss any of it. So starting in verse 18, it says, "This is how the birth of Jesus," some versions say this is the origin of Jesus, "the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus, which means Savior, because he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: 'The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus." It's an awesome portion of Scripture. And I think we do it an injustice by not studying it more. "They will call him Emmanuel," Isaiah said, which means God with us, showing the deity of Christ. He was every bit God. But he was born of a virgin, so he was every bit man. And those two things never blended or homogenized in him. They were separate and they were powerful. He was God. He was man. That's why sometimes he's referred to as the Son of God, and at other times he's referred to as the Son of Man. That's Jesus. So remember, keep those things in your mind. Although no one was near to hear it, it ultimately echoed around the world. None of the passengers that were on that DC-4 as it flew over South America ever knew what happened. They died instantly. The date was February the 15th, 1947. The Avianca airline flew, bound for Quito, Ecuador, and it crashed cumbersomely into the 14,000-foot-high towering peak of El Tablizo, not far from Bogota. Then it dropped in a flaming mass of metal into the ravine that was far below. On board, there was a New Yorker. His name was Glenn Chambers. He was one of the victims that night. He planned to begin a ministry with the Voice of the Andes. It had been a lifelong dream that suddenly aborted into a nightmare. The title of this message today is When Your Dream Becomes a Nightmare. Before leaving the Miami airport earlier that day, Chambers, while walking through the airport, hurriedly scribbled a note to his mom on a piece of paper that he found on the floor of the terminal. That scrap of paper was once printed with a piece of advertising, and it had one single word across the middle. Why? Was sprawled across that piece of paper in huge black letters. Why? But between the mailing of that little note and the delivery of that note, Glenn Chambers was killed in that fiery plane crash. When the letter arrived, there, staring up at his mom as she opened it, was that haunting question, why? Of all the questions, that is probably the most searching, the most tormenting question that someone could ask whose dreams have become nightmares. No single truth will remove the need to ask that question, why? It's been prayed, it's been screamed from the very top of the lungs in those barely audible whispers. Around the world, all through the ages. Why? Why? We could give out the truth. God is too kind to do anything this cruel. for whatever situation we might have faced. Or God is too wise to make a mistake like this. Because oftentimes when our dreams are crashed, we feel that it was a mistake. Or we can say that God is too deep to even need to explain himself. But none of these, or no single truth, will still our pounding, wondering hearts. Mrs. Chambers stopped asking why, when suddenly one day, while sitting in a rocking chair, pondering that question, why, the curtain was lifted and she saw who was behind the scene. All other sounds will be muffled when you and I claim that absolute sovereignty of God. The Lord giveth and the Lord takes away. But the Lord of all the earth shall do right. Even the deafening sound of a crashing DC-4 can't overpower that absolute sovereignty of God. So as you sit here and you listen to me this morning, have you ever experienced that gut-wrenching moment when one of your dreams have become a nightmare? And you find yourself in the starring role of this movie. And that's what it seems like. Well, just about every one of us sitting in here today have experienced that. Have you ever asked why when those things happened? When you're just looking around at the shattered remains of that wonderful dream that you had? Why? Why? We've all been there, and we've all done that. This morning, I want to show you a better way, an alternative way, other than asking why. I want to point out the witness of a man by the name of Joseph, a man who saw all of his dreams fall in a million pieces at his feet. What happened in his life is worthy of note this morning. It may help you and me when our dreams are shattered, when things don't turn out just the way that we thought they would or could, and we find ourselves wanting for an answer. I want to share for a few moments this morning the first part of when your dreams become nightmares. First of all, there's a shattering discovery. Joseph had that shattering discovery. Chapter 1, verse 18 of the book of Matthew. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. There was that time of excitement when Mary and Joseph were giddy with the excitement, the thought. We're engaged. This was the ancient Hebrew engagement period, and it was as binding as marriage. They were excited about their future together. They were ready to get their lives started. Raising a family. Sharing moments. They could see it. They were excited about it. It was also a time of expectation. Point B. The Bible tells us that these events took place before they came together. Surely they were both counting down the days until they would be together for life, husband and wife. But suddenly there was new information that was inserted into this dream. Something that they had not planned on. Something that they did not see coming down the road. Something that would throw your lives for a loop. It was a time of embarrassment. Point C. During this betrothal period, both the bride and the groom were swearing to each other to keep themselves physically pure for one another. Unlike the day in which we live, this was a time when both men and women were expected to go into the marriage as pure virgins. But it was during this time that Joseph made this discovery. His bride is pregnant, and he knows, I'm not the daddy. This would have been a source of great embarrassment for Mary, for Joseph, for their families. Her family would have been mortified. Joseph would have been heart sunk and heartbroken. Seems that every dream that Joseph had had for the future had been shattered by the devastating news. And they came tinkling down around his feet. But isn't that the way that life is sometimes? We all make our plans for the future. We set things up just so, just the way we want them. Then some event takes place, and all of our hopes, all of our plans, all of our dreams are nothing more than just a heap of trash. When these things happen, it breaks our heart. Because it's unexpected and it's unwanted and unplanned for. I have sat on the side of my bed and wept. Because something that I had longed for, something that I had wanted so desperately was not going to take place. Some of you have too. Like Joseph, you and I are often blind to the fact that it's God that's at work behind the scenes. Or that it was God that took the golden hammer and shattered our dream. That may be hard for us to understand, but it's still how things often work in our lives. And it did in Joseph's. The Bible is extremely clear on this matter. The God that we serve, the God that we love, the God that we've pledged ourselves to, works His will in our lives in ways that most times we can't comprehend. Isaiah 55:8-9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." His plans for us are rarely what we plan for us. God's desires for me and you are very seldom our desires for me and you. Scrawled in the back of an album from 1965, senior class, under my picture are the words, "I want to live on Daytona Beach and be a beach bum for the rest of my life." That was the length of my plans for Bernie Lewis. I was going to have fun. Little did I know that God had something else in mind. It was a great shock to me. It was a great shock to Susan. She just laughed and pointed and said, "You? Preacher?" And she was right. It was a laughing matter. Because I was not equipped. I had nothing to offer God. But God had everything to offer me. And He said, "I will teach you and I'll show you. Come and follow me." That was about 45 years ago. God's got something planned for your life. He's got a desire, just like you've got a desire. You and I, if we'll stop and look at it, we find out that His plans are always best for our lives. Even when they hurt deeply, when our plans end. But He said He would take all things and use for our good when we love Him and we serve Him. Oh, we may not like it when the Lord shatters our dreams and our hopes. But when everything has been said and everything has been done, we'll see that He had the perfect plan all along. if we will but walk with Him and give ourselves to Him. There was another Joseph, the son of Jacob. He was an up-and-coming young man. He was a daddy's boy, a mama's boy. Showed a lot of promise. Daddy loved him so much, he put a coat of many colors on him, showing that he was next in line to be leader of the clan, even though he was one of the youngest. His path led him from that place of prominence in his father's house to the bottom of a dirty pit. Dried up well. That his brothers threw him into. And then they were going to kill him, but they brought him out and they took that coat of many colors and killed his goat and dipped it in that blood. And they sold Joseph to a troop of traveling merchants who put a rope around his neck and chains on his arms and took him to Egypt. How could he know that God wanted him there? He had no idea. All he knew was he was being drugged by camels and rough men. And there he was placed on that block at the slave market to be sold as human refuse. And Potiphar wound up buying him. And he ended up in Potiphar's household. And soon this distinguished man saw, this kid is sharp. So he puts him over his household, and his household begins to prosper. But then the wife got her eye on him. Just as he was beginning to think, this might not be a real bad thing, he finds himself under arrest, charged with indecency with the wife, and he was sent to prison. Then one day, years later, the warden of the prison said, Joseph, Pharaoh wants to see you. We're going to give you a bath. And they take him from the prison into the palace. They place him before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh says, I've had a dream. Can you tell me what it is? And Joseph thought of his dreams that he had had so many of, and how they had just come crashing down. And it was nothing more than one big nightmare now. But God placed that interpretation into his mind and into his heart, and he told Pharaoh all about the dream and what it meant. And Pharaoh says, I want you to be in charge and you'll sit right next to me. Put this signet ring on. And in one day, God turned everything around. And that would not have happened had not God shattered those dreams that he had for himself years before. I don't know what kind of struggle that you've been in. Some of you, I know that dark, dusty, difficult road that you've had to walk. God is turning things around for you. Let him do it. He knows best. Give yourself to him. If you're trying to make it on your own, now's the time to surrender to God and say, not my will, but thine be done. God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Wherever you want me to go. Let him direct your life, because he's got plans for you. He says in Jeremiah, I know the plans that I have for you. I knew you before you were ever born, while you were still in your mother's womb. And I have plans for good things, not failure, but success. Just like these two Josephs, God will work it out in your life. Stop fighting him. Walk with him. Give your heart and your life to him. Be obedient to him. And he'll give you one of the most exciting lives that you could possibly have. Bow your heads with me, would you please? Father, how grateful how in awe I am of your perfect work. God, let us just surrender to you this morning. We give it all. We hold nothing back. Take all that we are, and God, put us in your omnipotent hands. And send us on our way. The way that you would have us go. So that your desires for our lives might be complete. God, the good news that I've been hearing, how grateful I am. You restore lives. You rebuild lives. And God, you put shattered dreams back together. But they look different when you've worked in them. Search every heart. Search every life. Let it be yielded to you. If you're sitting here this morning and you've been struggling, things have not looked good, dreams perhaps have been shattered, but you feel the tug of God deep down inside, if you haven't yielded to Him, don't you think it's time? You've tried many other ways and many other things. Yield to Him. You'll never be sorry. Just say this little prayer with me this morning. Father, I'm not sure exactly how all this works, but I'm willing to give it a try. I ask your forgiveness for trying to do it on my own. God, would you work in my life? Would you come into my heart and be my Lord, be my Savior, Jesus? I give you full control. Let my desire be your desire. And let me walk with you. Forgive me of my sin. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you did that this morning, please let me know. Those of you who are online, those of you who are here, please let me know. One of the greatest steps you could ever take. God will never disappoint you. It doesn't mean you won't be disappointed, but it won't be His fault. It'll be yours. He will always walk with you, and He'll never leave you alone. That's what Emmanuel means. God with us. You'll never be alone. He'll always be with you. What a wonderful time of year. We won't be having service on Wednesday of this week. I pray that you have a great Christmas. Your immediate family around you. Take a moment and really read the story of Jesus and His birth. We usually read it from Matthew and we read it from Luke. And there's a few other passages that we go through. When Damaris was a little girl, she said, "Daddy, can I read it?" I said, "Well, I hope so." And I gave her the Bible, and she read the stories. And now that she's in her 40s, she still reads. Oh, don't say that. She's not there yet. She still reads it. Celebrate the birth of our Savior. Thank you for being here. Would you stand and allow me to pray one more time with you? Father, what an awesome God you are. We don't deserve your kindness, but we certainly appreciate it. What a blessing that you give us. Keep your hand on each one of these that have gathered today. Keep your hand on this First Assembly family. And God bless you. give them the best you've got. Withhold no good thing from them. Be with us until we gather again. Thank you for coming to earth, Jesus. Thank you for being our Savior. In your awesome name, amen and amen.